Daily bread, and without you we're just adrift in life's sea, not knowing where we're going. But with you we have an anchor, we have a harbor, we have a pilot, and we have a master of our ship, Lord, that will guide us safely. May we hear your word tonight. May we draw one step closer to our heavenly home, to living with you in this world and in the world to come. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And while you're standing, let's turn to the book of Psalms and Psalm 107. And we'll start from verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in the great waters, these see the works of the Lord, and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro, and stagger like drunken men, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet, so he bringeth them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may take your seats. And I want to speak tonight, if the Lord is willing, on a simple little thing, a quiet journey, a quiet journey. And you can see what David is talking about here. Men that are going down to the sea in ships, and they have a destination in mind. They have somewhere, they have a point A and they have a point B, and they're on their journey from point A to point B. They have a destination, they have a goal in mind. And brothers and sisters, I hope every one of us has a destination in mind tonight. I hope that every one of us knows that we're on a journey from point A, and we can look back and we can see, this is where I started from. And when I started, I had a goal in mind. I had somewhere that I wanted to get to that isn't where I started from, but is some distance from where I started. And I am on that journey now, and I am nearer now to where I want to be. Brothers and sisters, we all started in sin. We all started in the depths of despair. We all started separated from God. And you know, that's the truth. That is the truth. And it was difficult for me growing up as the son of a pastor. I was a good boy. I didn't go smoking and drinking and doing all. I told lies sometimes, but you know, I wasn't. But as I got older and older, and even now I realize how much God has delivered me from and what my starting point was. And so don't be discouraged if you think you started off as a good person, as the son of a pastor, and you never did too much wrong in your life. You still started from a place of separation from God. And if you haven't recognized that, you need to ask God to open your eyes to that. But I believe all of us recognize or will recognize where he brought us from. And we all have a destination that we're headed to. We all have the city, the New Jerusalem that we want to live in. We all have the image of Christ that we want to be. We want to have inhabiting our bodies and to walk like he walked and to talk like he talked and to have all the volatility burn out of us so we can be servants to God. And we have a point A, and we can say, that's where I started, and I'm sure glad I'm not back there. Amen. And this is where I'm going, and I sure hope it's pretty soon, but I'm stuck between these two places, just like the seaman caught at sea. And you know, God, in his wisdom, and God in his mercy, he says, there's going to be times of plain sailing. We have that. You have that expression here in Minnesota, don't you? Plain sailing? It's a nautical expression. Just means it's easy. The sea is calm. The breeze is blowing. Okay, we're just rolling along. The waves are nice. The sun is shining. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. There's not much work to do on the ship. That's an easy life for a sailor. That's plain sailing. Brothers and sisters, I hope you have times of plain sailing in your life. God gives them to you. And they're a blessing that everything is going smoothly as you move towards your destination. You know? And sometimes, brothers and sisters, sometimes a ship can be becalmed. Who knows what becalmed is? Okay? It's when the wind stops blowing. And the sails don't push you along anymore. And you know what happens when you're becalmed? You're not moving very fast. And you know what sailors used to do when the ship got becalmed and they had a destination, they had somewhere to go? Oh, those were terrible times. Because they would lower the boats and they would get these great cables out. That's the big thick ropes that they have on the ship. And they would attach the small boats to the big ship and they would just row and row and row all day because they had to get to their destination and the wind wasn't helping them, so they had to put some of their own muscle into it. Brothers and sisters, sometimes you're going to go through a time when you're becalmed, where things just don't seem to be going right, where you don't seem to be moving very fast. And the solution to that is not to sit and to wait for the wind and say, oh, come Holy Spirit, blow on me. Sometimes you got to sweat to move yourself. How do you sweat? On your knees in prayer. How do you sweat? Reading your Bible, even when it doesn't seem like anything is coming out of it. How do you sweat? You just got to keep on moving. And there are times when we have to sweat in our lives. But brothers and sisters, there are also times of storms in our lives. Times when it's just completely, your life is completely up and down and up. And you feel the danger that you're going to get swallowed by life situations. You're going to get swallowed by your surroundings. That there's no hope that you're going to make it because of everything going on around you. And that's the storms of life. Okay, when the storms of life are raging, stand by me. And that's what David is talking of here. Lifting up towards heaven, then down towards the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Brothers and sisters, we are living in a time when if you're looking at the surroundings, if you're looking at the things that are happening in this country and across the world, your soul will melt because of trouble. if you look at those things. You will reel to and fro. You will stagger like a drunk man. You will be at your wit's end. But God says, I can make that storm a calm. I can bring you out of it. And I can make you glad because of the quiet. And I can bring you to your desired haven. Oh, it's wonderful to have a God that's going to bring us to our desired haven. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. How, when we're surrounded by storms, when we're surrounded by trouble, how do we get to our desired haven? How do we get back to a quiet journey? And we're going to learn it's not about the surrounding, it's about something inside of ourselves and our connection with God. Oh, our connection with God is so important. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 14. And you know the story. God finally got Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go. And he said, I don't want to see you anymore. He didn't even send for Moses. He sent a messenger to Moses and said, get out. And they got out of the land. And they got out of the land and God says, well, seems like that was pretty hard getting you out of the land. I had to send 10 plagues, but I'm not through yet. I'll harden Pharaoh's heart again. And so then you have a bunch of slaves and their children and their wives and their families and they're running through the desert. Okay, and they do have God with them, but then they also become aware that Pharaoh is chasing them and God is leading them. Oh, God, the great general, is leading them. Praise God for God's tactics. Amen. And they're saying, wow, we've got God on our side. And where is he leading us? Into the trap. Oh, there's mountains on this side. There's mountains on that side. And there's the sea behind us. And the only way out, the only way to escape is where Pharaoh's army is. Oh, yeah. Well, we know the story. God is a wonderful storyteller. He likes to make things gloomy and doomy and despairing. And oh, and we know the phrase, just when everything was hopeless, something happened. And just when everything was hopeless and the people were complaining to Moses, what did Moses say? Okay, verse 13. It says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, be at rest, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians who ye seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you will hold your peace. Amen. And God opened the Red Sea behind them. He brought something, he brought peace in that situation through the most peculiar way, by dividing the sea and saying, come across this way. This is the way to continue the journey. And what do we take from that? That have faith in God. If he's led you to a place where you feel trapped by your circumstances, by your finances, by the storms around you, by mountains on this side and mountains on that side, the sea at your back and the enemy in front of you and there's no escape, that's okay. You can still go on your journey in quiet. Have faith in God. See what he's going to open for you. See the unexpected. You can have peace on your journey. Amen. It's a wonderful thing. Jonah's such an interesting guy. Okay, let's turn to Jonah here. And Jonah had a place that he was coming from, and he had a place that God was telling him to go to. And he said, I'm going to go a different way. And God says, you may think that you're going a different way. You may think you have a different destination, but you have the same destination that I told you to go in the beginning. It's going to be a little troublesome getting you there, but I'm going to get you there. And we praise God for that because it shows us this truth, that not one of God's seed will be lost. It doesn't matter what detours you take, how you try to escape the plan of God in your life. He will bring you back. And he says, you think you're running away. Oh, no. You're just running towards your destination in the way that I want you to run. So brothers and sisters, when you see somebody that you love, when you see someone that's dear to you, that's gone down a path that you think is wrong, don't despair. Hold them before God and wait and see the salvation of God. God has got everything in his hands, and he's a wonderful storyteller. And the story of every one of our lives, the story of every one of our lives. Well, I don't know. It might be like, how people go to the movie theater and they sit down there. They're like, oh, I want to see a good story. I want to be entertained. I want to be emotionally connected to this story. I wonder if in heaven we're going to have the Hollywood moments, where we're all like, wow, this is what we should, let's all go and sit down. Let's watch the life of Brother David. Let's see the story that God led him through. Brother David, there's going to be parts that I don't want you to see. But, you know, you have to see and you have to understand. You go through the dark times. You go through the light times. You go when things are hopeless. And just then, you see how the hand of God lies and guides and corrects us. Is it going to be like that in heaven? I don't know, but I kind of hope so. I'd love to see how God acted out his plan in the lives. Yeah. He went down to the belly of the whale, and there he found his place of quiet. He found his place of quiet on his journey. Okay. Chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, into the midst of the sea. The floods compassed me about, all thy billows and waves passed over me. Then said I am cast out of thy sight. Yet will I look again towards thy holy temple. Whose fault was it that Jonah was in the situation he was in? Oh, it was his fault. Whose fault is it that you're in the situation that you're in? Separated from God. Down in the belly of a fish, in the belly of, in the ocean, and just at the bottom of the bottom of the bottom of your life. And there's no hope for you. And you're totally separated from God. Yeah, you're not. Because David said, though I make my bed in hell, you are there. There is no place so dark that there isn't a little bit of light. There's no place so evil. There's no place so hopeless that there isn't a little bit of God that you can turn and face and say, God, help me. And that's what Jonah found. And he said, I'm cast out thy sight, yet will I look again towards thy holy temple. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in again to thee, to thy holy temple, Paul. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed, salvation of the Lord. So it doesn't matter where you are right now. You are not in a situation as dire as Jonah was in. You're not in a situation where the devil could whisper to you and say, look what you've done. look how you've separated yourself from the plan of God, the disobedience of God, the path that God put you on, and you have disobeyed all of that, and now the judgment has come upon you in this life, and I'm waiting for you in the darkness. Give up, die, and come to my arms, you evil prophet, you disobedient prophet. You think the devil was talking to him like that? Do you think he had more lying vanities to contend with than the seaweed and the fish's belly and being in the bottom of the ocean? And the foul air he was breathing? What about the spiritual and the mental side of that and the things that he knew as a prophet and the judgments of God that he knew? But he put aside all of those lying vanities and said, I will look to your temple. There is no place so low you can't redeem me from, that you can't bring me back to a quiet journey. We're heading for a quiet journey. Jesus on the sea. We know the story. He had a place where he was heading. Let's go across to the other side. And the storm came up. It was in the boat. And the waves were going to swamp. But he said, we're going. And sometimes I wonder, what should the disciples have done? No? What should they have done? Because he said to them, oh, ye of little faith. Should they have spoken the word? Did one of them have a little unction, a little movement that said, speak the word? And he was so surrounded by doubt, surrounded by the waves, surrounded by everyone else, that he said, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. But could they have stood up and did what Jesus did? It seems to me, by the reading of the scripture, that they could have. Why else would he have said, oh, ye of little faith? But sometimes we go through a storm, and even when God gives us the ability to have the victory and to speak something, and we fall, he's still there. When we get desperate, when we're beyond what we can handle, say, peace, be still. The winds and the waves immediately ceased. And there was a great calm. Okay. That's amazing. And sometimes we need that. Sometimes we're going through something that's so hard on us. You get a little bit depressed. You get a little worn down. That God is trying to give you the victory and you just can't take it. But you cry to him and he says, ah, it's okay. Peace, be still. This transitions you from a place of torment to a place of peace on your journey. Amen. Let's turn to Acts chapter 7. And Stephen, the spirit of hatred lives in this world. The spirit of hatred lives in opposition to all that's good, to all that's right, to all that's holy. And it's interesting, just reading. Don't read the news too much. You get depressed. You realize the storm you're in. Okay? But reading the commentary of people who say, there's something happened in America where people have gone from a sense of right and wrong into a sense of wrath into a sense of anger that's so deep that the only answer for anger, the anger that they have, is revenge on somebody in some way. Okay? You know what I'm talking about. The only answer for the anger that they have is revenge on someone in some way. Not to listen to them, not to reason with them, not to try and save them, but to try and punish them. The stoning of Stephen, when they heard these things, verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And then they cried with a loud voice, and they stopped their ears. And they ran on him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. The witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. When he had said this, he fell asleep. Okay. So many things about that. But there's Stephen in the midst of a storm, finding a place of peace because he could see Jesus. Okay. And so the question is, in what you're going through, can you see Jesus? How do you find peace in your storm? So I got a few thoughts on this that we'll go through. Separation. Separation from your worldly surroundings. And Mark chapter 6. So the disciples are sent out to work, and John the Baptist is beheaded. And verse 30 says, And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart to a desert place, and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. So they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And so sometimes the way to find peace is to separate yourself from your worldly surroundings, from the environment that you're in, to take a vacation, to get away from it all. And while there's so much need and there's so much pressure on us, okay, there's still a place for us to come apart and rest a while. Okay? Jesus himself, he went and he rested, he got away from it, even when he was carrying the burdens. But as a human, sometimes you just need to separate yourselves. And sometimes like Brother Branham, he went out hunting for months, just got completely away because he was so worn out. Remember, before the tapes had started recording, he'd had a complete nervous breakdown that had taken him completely out of the ministry because of the meetings that he talks about where he would be praying and he would tell the people, I'll stay here till everybody is prayed for. And healings would happen. They would start driving people in from the surrounding towns. I think in one place he said he stayed at the pulpit for 6 days. He burnt out. You know, taking little naps here and there. Driving himself crazy because your body is not designed, cannot handle that. Okay? So sometimes you just have to take a break. Famously, Susanna Wesley took a break, put her apron over her head. You see me with my apron over my head. If you disturb me, you are in really big trouble. The house better be on fire. Well, that happened to her as well. Okay? But just taking a break, separating yourselves and getting close to God to find peace. A great way to do this is by music. Singing the praises of God. Okay? Yeah. How do you get to be quiet? By casting your care on the Lord. That's 1 Peter, I believe. Let's have a look there. 1 Peter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, how does this work in practice? Oh, that's a really interesting question. Well, to me, it's an interesting question. Let's turn to Matthew 26 to see an example of this in action. Verse 36, then cometh Jesus with them to a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And what's Jesus doing here? He's carrying a burden. He's going through a storm. He's seeing what's ahead of him. And he's finding that place where he says, how can I carry this burden? Can it depart from me? And he cometh to the disciples, and finding them sleeping, and said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went again the second time and prayed and said, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came again and found them sleeping again, for their eyes were heavy. He left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And he cometh to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. See? And so there was a burden so big that the Son of God had to go 3 times in prayer to find that place of peace where he could give that burden over into the hands of the Father and say, I accept your will. Because sometimes it's not easy to accept the will of God. It's not easy. If it was easy, everyone would be Christians. But it's not easy. So cast your care on him, for he cares on you. And then center your mind on the things of God, not on what's surrounding you. He came to that place where he said, this is the path I'm going to walk. I can walk it, and I will walk it willingly, because God has taken over my will, and this is a path I can walk. In the storm, he had peace. Set your mind on godly things. Philippians 4. The God of peace. Be careful for nothing. Verse 6. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, you're not going to find much of that listening to the news. Whatsoever things are honest, again, there's no commentary that you'll find in the world. Whatsoever things are just, there's no news outlet. There's nothing you can read of this world, of this time. Whatsoever things are pure. No radio station you can listen to, no podcast that you can listen to. Whatsoever things are lovely. There's nothing in this world that meets this description. Whatsoever things are of good report. How many know what GIGO is? I think I've said it here before. GIGO? G-I-G-O? Oh, Nate, I'm surprised. Engineer. Garbage in, garbage out. You've heard of that. Okay. So, garbage in, garbage out. It's a shorthand, you know, if you're coding, you're trying to work out something and you put the wrong data in, or you make mistakes when you're programming, well, garbage in, garbage out. You're not going to get what you want. Okay? What are you putting into your mind? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Well, listen for his voice. Ah, oh, such an interesting story. Jeremiah 42. Jeremiah, the man who gave up everything to stay with his people. You know, they offered to let him resign, to retire in peace to Babylon. Go anywhere he wanted, have a nice living. The Babylonians offered that to Jeremiah. You know that, right? Okay? The country where Jeremiah was the prophet, and he said that they're coming, give yourselves to their mercy. They wouldn't, they killed. But they heard of Jeremiah because the captain that was left in charge of the country came to Jeremiah and he was like, hey, listen, I know you've had a hard time. Come to my estate. I'll set you up. You can live wherever you like. No one's going to bother you. And Jeremiah said, no, I'm going to stay here with these people, with these disobedient. Oh, that's the spirit of Christ right there. But now, oh boy. So now here's a man whose prophecies have come true. Okay. Then all the captains of the forces and Johanan, son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people, from the least even to the greatest, came near and said to Jeremiah the prophet, let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee. Pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant. For we are left but a few of many as thine eyes to behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do. And Jeremiah, the prophet, said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back. And then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a faithful, true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all things for with the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be for good, or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. And it came to pass after 10 days. Okay? So seek the Lord, that's good. Wait on his word, that's good. But then follow his word. Because Jeremiah waited for 10 days and he said, this is what God says. He says, there's some of you that want to go down to Egypt. And to trust in Egypt. And they think the power that's in Egypt is going to deliver them. And he says, don't listen to them. Live in peace in the land. Put yourselves in subjection to the king of Babylon. Everything will be well with thee. And they're like, No. That's not right. We're going to the land of Egypt. You have been listening to, I can't remember the name, but you've been listening to this certain person, and you're trying to trap us to go down. Jeremiah's like, hey, you're the ones that sent me. God told you, he needs to tell you this. Like, no. And they went down to Egypt in one of the most dramatic scenes, I think, in the Bible. Jeremiah took stones in his hand. He said, hey, everybody, come here. And he was by the pottery kiln in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh's pottery kiln. And he said, come here, everybody, come here. I want to show you something. And they all came round. And he buried the stones in the mud by the pottery kiln. And he said, see that place there? That's the place where Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, is going to set up his tent when he comes down and destroys the land of Egypt. And that's what happened. See? So, listen for God. Ask him. Wait on his word. And then be obedient when his word came. Because he's going to take you to a destination the way that he has. Rest in his word. And just something a little beautiful to finish off with. Isaiah 26. You know this scripture. You know this scripture. In that day, from verse 1, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah? We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Oh, brothers and sisters, can you stay your mind on Jehovah? But what does that word mean? To stay your mind. That word is translated different ways in the Bible, in different places. Okay? I'm going to show you how to stay your mind on Jehovah. All right? Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 3. In verse 2. All right. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron's sons and the priests shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. That word stay is in that verse. All right. Which word do you think it is? You're all tired. I better tell you. Lay. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace. So just as the one offering the sacrifice, can I use your head for a second? Okay. Laid his hand on the head. Okay. That's the staying your hand. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is laid on Jehovah, just as a hand is laid on the head of the sacrifice. Brothers and sisters, how do you lay, how do you stay on Jehovah? Lay your hand on the sacrifice. Whatever I'm going through, there's a blood sacrifice that says I can make it to the other side. You will keep me in perfect peace as long as I am connected with the sacrifice. Again, back to the ocean. Okay? How many know what a stay on a ship is? The stays were the large ropes. The large ropes that connected the masts to the ship. Okay? The stays in the rigging. All right? And you can imagine a sailor reading this back when it was translated, whose mind is stayed on thee, is so firmly connected that the whole power of the wind can drive through the sails, and it holds on to the ship in such a way that it propels it through the water. Are you stayed on Jesus? So much so that when the Spirit comes and moves, that power can go through you and not just tear your sails to shreds and not snap your masts and snap your stays and your rigging is destroyed, but the stay is strong enough that the Spirit blows and moves, and it moves you through the waters. This is the stay, because your hand is resting on the head of his sacrifice through faith, where you say, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and I'm identified. My stay is in the Lord. And finally, in all things, praise the Lord. By him. Okay, here's our journey, here's our sacrifice. Here's our staying on, our identification with. Okay, Hebrews 13. We have a place we're going. Alright? We have an altar. This is from verse 10. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burnt without the camp. That's the identification. But, oh, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Why is this important? Because all those animals died outside of the camp and stayed there in the ground. So your identification with the sacrifice was on this earth. All right? And you couldn't move past it with the tabernacle, with the old, with the blood of bulls and goats. You couldn't get past the earth, because that's where the sacrifice stayed. And that's where it remained. But, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Alright, but he didn't die and stay in the ground. He rose and he led the way to our destination. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. That's our destination. That's our safe haven that God will see us to. Where Jesus is. Okay? Not in this world, but in the next one. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. In all things, give thanks. Amen. Because that's the way to find a quiet journey, no matter what the storms of life around you are like. Stay on Jesus. Put your hand on his head in a way that's so strong you can't be moved. Okay, you can't be it's not you can't be moved, sorry. In a way that's so strong you can't be disconnected from Amen. Him. For it's in the disconnection, yeah, that the storms overwhelm the ship. When those stays break, then you're in real trouble. Okay? But while your stays are there, yeah, the troubles assail. Dangers of fright. Friends all should fail, foes all unite. One thing assures us, whatever betide, scriptures assure us, the Lord will provide. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Thank you for your goodness this evening. Thank you for your blessings. Pray that we can find ourselves stayed on you, so when the storms are raging, when the waves are high and tossing us around, we can find peace in our journey, knowing that you will see us through to the safe harbor. We pray that our minds and our hearts would be stayed on you, would be laid on you, would be tied to you so fast that there's no power in heaven or earth that would untie them, Lord. And may we move forward in faith, knowing that just like Jonah, if we get off the way, you'll bring us back to our safe haven, to our destination, to our place of peace. Lord, if I've said anything that's been amiss this evening, Lord, bring it to your light. The words that have been from you, may they sink down into our hearts and hold us fast to you as we continue on this journey. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's sing something. Let's sing praises to the Lord while we get ready for the communion. Do you know the song, "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has"? Is that in the book? I like. I'm sorry, Brother Don. Hey. That's gonna be too high. Just a little. To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life, an atonement for sin, and opened the life gates that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord. Father, through Jesus, and give Him the glory.
Thank you, Brother Derek, so much. Good timing. Very good timing. This is a season. Like you said, you can't stand to listen to the news these days. You just can't take it, can you? You look around the world and you think, Lord, I never thought I'd see these kinds of things. Well, why are we here? But we are here for a purpose. We know that every single day that we're here, we're here for a purpose. And these things, these valleys, these pits, sloughs of despondency, why does He allow them? And I think there's something that happens in these pits. You always here, when you have nothing left but Jesus, you find out that's when that's all you need. And so there's a transition of lifeline that happens down here in these pits that you find just the beauty of his reality. I was talking with somebody just the last day or two, and they had mentioned the song that we sang Sunday, Jehovah Jireh. We were talking about the chorus. What's the chorus say? He's more than what? And this person said, I can't sing that. And that's the second person I've heard say that. I said, you will. He will bring you to that place. And it might be hard, but it'll be beautiful when you finally can sing that in a reality. Lord, you're more than enough. You're all I need. But most of the time, he has to take everything away from us to get to that point that we can truly say that. While you were speaking, this verse kept coming to me, Brother Derek, Matthew chapter 4, speaking the coming of Messiah Jesus. Verse 15 and 16, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the regions of the shadow of death, light has sprung up. That's really astounding words. Because I think to each individual, we each have that place. I know I did. And Mary did. And we sat in darkness. And to those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, light sprang up. And you don't realize until you've been in the region of the shadow of death, how beautiful that light is. And when you have been in that shadow of death and that light is there, believe me, it's not a nice church service. Life is coming to you, and the lifeboat has come to you, and Jesus has come to you, and everything that was death is now life. And that's just not a nice thing. That's a reality. That's life-changing. And this, Brother Derek, I think is where the church is at. But watch what lies before us before we're body changed and we have to come to that perfect faith. That's what he said. We have to be perfectly right. He said that too. So as long as there's things down here that we can depend on, we depend on them. As long as you got aspirin in the closet, you'll go take it before you cry out to God. Right? It's just the easier path of least resistance, I think, isn't it? Let me ask you a question. Is he going to take us to the place where we honestly say by experience, Lord, you're more than enough? And mean it with the very breath of our lives. Yeah, I think so. And that's precious. So precious. Servers, would you come, please?